Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Do you ever feel like God's a million miles away? You just really have a hard time praying. You just feel like your prayers are not even making it to the ceiling. You ever find it's just a real struggle to get in the Bible and have any kind of devotional time at all? You ever find yourself just really dreading Sunday because you just don't want to go to church? You just want to turn over and keep sleeping. You ever find yourself in a spiritual slump? Find yourself in spiritual drought. Now, that's not something that we as Christians like to talk about because we say that's not spiritual. You know, if you're a committed Christian and you're doing like you ought to do, then you should always be on a high, right? No, that's not right. Spiritual drought is a reality of the Christian life. People in the Bible experience spiritual drought. You remember Jonah? After he preached to Nineveh and God brought a mighty revival, he got so upset he begged God just to kill him. He wanted to die. You remember Elijah? After calling down the fire on Mount Carmel, then running for his life, he begged God to kill him. David in the Psalms would say he was in a dry and weary land where there was no water. I believe God wants to speak to us today about this issue of a spiritual drought. If you're not in a spiritual drought right now, just hold on. You will be in one sooner or later. So take this information, and I trust it will help you when you find yourself in that spiritual dry place. When everything just seems to be spiritual dust. Take your Bibles, turn over to Psalm 42. In our passage today, the psalmist was experiencing a time of spiritual drought. I think we can learn from him and be instructed and find the causes and the cure for the spiritual droughts that we find ourselves in. In respect for the Word of God, let me ask you to stand. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, "Where's your God?" These things I remember. I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance and my God. You may be seated. First, we're going to look at the symptoms of a spiritual drought. Then we're going to look at the causes of spiritual drought. And then lastly, we shall look at the cure for spiritual drought. First, the symptoms of a spiritual drought. First, you have no sense of God's presence in your life at all. Look at verses 1 and 2. As a deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, he longs for the sense of God's presence in his life. He says he thirsts for God. Thirst in itself signifies a lack, doesn't it? You thirst when you don't have enough water and you need some. The fact that he is thirsting for the presence of God is an indication that he's not sensing God's presence. He has no sense of God's presence in his prayers. He has no sense of God's presence in his study. He has no of the word. He has no sense of God's presence in his devotional times. He gets nothing out of his study of the scriptures, of his times of worship. It's just hard and dry. It's just like any other book. God does not seem to be real and living to him. He knows God in his mind, but it's like God is abstract. He wants a sense of the living God. He wants that personal, real, close relationship, that sense of God's presence, and he doesn't have it. In fact, he wonders if he will ever see God's face again. As he says in verse 2, when shall I come and appear? And that word appear literally is face. When shall I come to the face of God again? When shall I be in his presence again? Have you ever been there? You felt like, God, I'm just so dry. When am I ever going to have those sweet times of communion with you that I've known in the past? And I can really sense your presence. The second symptom is a sense of despair. Look in verse 3. A sense of despair. My tears have been my food day and night. He is crying day and night. He is in a state of emotional despair. He's crying. He's upset. His tears flow freely. And then third symptom, there's no desire for the Christian disciplines. No desire to pray, to worship. Look in verse 4. The things I remember and pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God. With the voice of joy and the thanksgiving. He used to do that, but he doesn't do it now. He remembers a day when he was excited to be in the presence of God. He would lead people to the time of worship and to the temple of God. But now he has no desire to even be there. It's all just a faint memory in his past. It's a struggle for him to pray. It's a struggle for him to get into the scriptures. It's a struggle for him to seek to worship even. There's no desire for spiritual things in his life. And then fourthly, he has the spiritual blues in verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? That word despair means to be bowed low. It means to stoop or to crouch down. He is spiritually low. He is spiritually sunken down. He has the spiritual blues. He's in a spiritual funk. And this word disturbed literally means murmuring. It was used of a growl of an animal, grumbling. He's not only spiritually discouraged in a spiritual funk, but he's complaining. He's fussing, God, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? He has turned sour on life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a spiritual drought? I know you have, so I don't even really have to ask that question. If you're a Christian, you've been living any length of time at all. You have been here. You've seen those times where you didn't sense God's presence, where you've been in spiritual despair, where you had no desire for Christian disciplines, where you had the spiritual blues, and life just turned sour. Now that's the symptom. Now, what are the causes of spiritual drought. Now, I'm going to give you a sampling of causes. This is not exhaustive, but it will cover many of the causes. Now, it's important to understand the cause of your spiritual drought because that will determine the cure that you use. If you have a viral infection, you don't need antibiotics. If you have a bacterial infection, then your doctor will prescribe antibiotics. But the reason for your sickness determines what cure is used. Same thing about spiritual drought. The reason for the drought will determine what you need to do to move through that drought, to get out of it. So let's look at some of the causes. First of all, unconfessed sin. Now, you may not only be just one of these things that causes your spiritual drought. It might be a combination of things. Look at unconfessed sin. Look at what the psalmist says. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I was painting my fence this week. I experienced the fever heat of summer. It can drain you dry, can't it? This is what he said he was feeling like spiritually. Why? Because he had unconfessed sin in his life. He was not dealing with his sin before God. He was quenching the Spirit of God. And this was causing him to be in a spiritual drought. So when I find myself in a spiritual drought, the first thing I do is I say, God, is there some unconfessed sin in my life? Is there something I have done that is a sin against you and your people that I need to bring out? Now what I've found is most sins can be categorized under one of three areas. Personal bitterness, misplaced priorities, and moral impurity. And so I go through these areas and I ask myself, first, personal bitterness. Am I harboring any bitterness or resentment toward anyone? Do I feel at odds with anyone? Maybe at home, at work, maybe even God. Do I feel at odds with God? Do I feel like God's let me down? That He hasn't done right by me and therefore I'm at odds with Him? If I had a critical spirit, if I've been judgmental toward people, and if God reveals any of these things to me, then I confess and repent. Then I move on to the next area. Have I misplaced any of my priorities? Is God still first in my life? Do I seek first His kingdom and His righteousness? Or have I let something else become first in my life? Even church work. Have I let the church get ahead of my family? My priority should be God and my family and then work. Am I seeking the pleasures of this world more than I'm seeking God? Am I watching too much television? And am I looking at too many movies? Am I reading secular books? And all of these things are drawing me away from God. You know, worldliness, it will kill spirituality. And we have so much worldliness around us. We live in the world. And so it is a constant struggle for me, and I imagine for you, to make sure that we are in the world but not of the world, that we don't allow the attractions of the world to pull us away from the true spiritual joys and spiritual excitement of the Lord. You see, the world offers a counterfeit joy. And we are tempted to go after that joy, but it's only counterfeit. It's only temporary. And in so doing, we forsake the true joy, which is a vital, dynamic relationship with God. And so I have to ask myself, am I in this spiritual drought because I'm not tending to my spirit enough and I'm letting my flesh have too much input and I'm letting the world be too attractive to me? And then I move on to the third category and I ask myself, is there any moral impurity in my life? Any impure thoughts? Is there any thing that I've done that's not pleased the Lord that I need to bring before Him and confess it. So the first thing I do when I find myself in a spiritual drought is I say, now, is there a sin problem? And I go through this, and I would encourage you to do that same thing. But then if nothing comes out in that, I move to the second cause. Spiritual overextension and spiritual undernourishment. The saying goes, the one who gives out much must take in much. Am I overextending myself spiritually while undernourishing myself spiritually? Am I trying to do too much at church? Teach Sunday school, or serve on a committee, work in Awana's, work in children's church, be involved in this ministry and that ministry. You know, it is possible for us to get so consumed in the work of the Lord that we become spiritually dry simply because we're giving out and not taking in. You can only dip so many times into the bucket until the bucket is empty. You've got to continue to fill the bucket if you're going to dip out of that bucket. If you are constantly giving out and not being spiritually fed, you'll dry up. And so I ask myself, am I overextending myself spiritually and not spending enough time nourishing and allowing the Lord to nourish my spirit? Am I trying to serve God in my own fleshly energy? Now that will put you in a drought quickly. We call it burnout, but it's the same thing. You try to serve God in your own strength and the energy of your flesh, and you will get totally dry and burned out. So I ask myself that question. Am I trying to do this in my own strength, or am I trusting the Lord to move in and through me? You see, it's not enough to study the Bible to prepare for a lesson or to prepare for a sermon, but you've got to spend time alone with God each day, allowing Him to feed your spirit. The Lord Jesus knew this. What do we find over in Luke's gospel? It says that though He was much in teaching, He would get alone to spend time with God in prayer. Look at that. Jesus got away. He would often go alone to spend time with God in prayer. He knew the importance of His own spirit and soul being ministered to and being fed because He gave out so much. So I ask myself that question. Am I overextending myself and yet under nourishment? And then I move on to the third cause. Spiritual underworking and overeating. Did you realize that? Did you know if you eat too much spiritually, you can get spiritually bloated? And get in a spiritual drought. Just like if you eat too much physically and don't get any exercise, you can get bloated, can't you? Well, that can happen spiritually. If you're taking in, studying the Word, going to seminars, listening to Christian radio, doing all of this, but you aren't serving God anywhere, you'll get in a spiritual drought. Now, the Dead Sea constantly takes in fresh water. But you know it's a Dead Sea because nothing ever gets out of it. Water just goes in, but it doesn't go out. And so what happens? It becomes very salty. In fact, it's so salty, you can't sink. You can't drown. I have been in the Red Sea. I have tried to go underwater. You can't do it. You just float on top of the water because it has so many minerals in it. But it gets fresh water all the time. But because there's no outlet. Same thing happens to you spiritually. When you take in and take in and take in and you don't serve God, you don't work, you become spiritually sluggish and you get in a spiritual funk. This happened to me when I was in college. I went to a Bible school. And so I was spending a great deal of time studying the Word, spending time with the Lord, being taught the Word on a regular basis in my classes as we had different books of the Bible we were studying, Christian doctrines. But I found myself becoming spiritually dry. And I began to be concerned about it and pray about it. And God revealed to me the problem was I was not out doing ministry. I was just taking in but not giving out. You know, the writer of Hebrews talks about that. He talks about those who should have grown into maturity, because the growth into spiritual maturity comes by those who practice the truth that they have. It's kind of like a sieve, and we can take in, but if nothing's coming out, it just gets packed up and stops. But when we do ministry, we're keeping it flowing. And God can keep pouring out new truth and new spirituality because we're using what we have. And so if you're going through a spiritual drought, ask yourself, is the problem I'm not serving the Lord? I'm just taking in, but I'm not giving out. That can put you in a funk. And then the fourth cause for a spiritual drought is you get in a spiritual rut. You do things every day the same way in your devotional times. You know, you read the same verses, you pray the same prayer, you do the same thing every day at every time. Now, if you and I decided we were going to have a conversation every day for 30 minutes, and we said the same thing to each other every day, it wouldn't take long before we got in a bored rut, would it? And yet we go to God and say the same thing every day and wonder why we're bored. Wonder why it's dry. You need some variety in your devotional time. Now, we're creatures of habit. I understand that. So you have to work at this. But sometimes you need to just put your prayer list aside and just pick up your hymn book and just start singing some praises to God. The world's not going to fall apart if you don't pray through that prayer list one day. Trust me. God's memory's not that short. He remembers what you prayed yesterday. So have some variety in your prayer life. You may want to go outside and just get outside with the Lord and just spend time talking to Him, just having a conversation with Him. But add some variety to your daily devotion time. The fifth reason is a disregard of your body. When God made us, He made us a body and a soul spirit. And they are closely connected. In fact, I don't think you can really separate them during this life. Now, at death, our spirit leaves the body. But they are so closely connected in this life. If you neglect your body, it affects your spirit. This came home to me so much one time when I had the flu, and I really had the flu. And if you've really had the flu, you know you've had it. It's not a virus. It puts you out for weeks. And even when they say you're over it, you still feel like you got it. Man, I remember during those times, I couldn't hardly get myself to pray at all or study the Bible at all. I was just spiritually flat during the whole time. And the reason was because my body was in such bad shape. And you can't separate your physical condition from your spiritual condition. If you're overeating and not getting enough exercise, you become sluggish emotionally and mentally, and it affects you spiritually. So you need to not disregard your body, but we need to keep our body up and in tune so that we can be spiritually in tune. Also, you may have a chemical imbalance in your brain that may be causing you to have a spiritual funk or be in a spiritual depression. Now, if this is the case, you can do all the praying you want to do. You can do all the Bible reading you want to do. You can do all the memorizing you want to do. But you won't come out of that spiritual funk until you get some medication. Just like a diabetic has to have insulin because his body is not producing it, because of stress and sometimes because of certain illnesses, our brain fails to make the chemical we need to maintain an emotional balance. And so when that happens, you need to supply that chemical through medication so that your brain can then get back and get balanced. And if you have a medical condition and you don't get the medicine, you're going to stay in that spiritual depression. You're going to stay in that emotional depression. And there's nothing wrong with having medicine, if that's the case with you, no any more than it'd be for a diabetic, it'd be wrong for him to take insulin. It's just something chemical that you need to replace because it's been depleted for various reasons. So, if you go through all these things and none of them fit, and you've been in this funk for a month or more, you might want to consider going and getting a checkup with your physician and see if there's a physical cause. The sixth reason for a spiritual drought is the strengthening of your faith. You've gone through all of these five things. You've even gone to the doctor and he says, no, you look good to me. Everything's checking out. Then you are going through this spiritual drought for the strengthening of your faith. You haven't done anything wrong. It's because you're doing things right that God's got you in this spiritual drought, because He wants you to learn to walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. Let's face it, when you feel God's presence, it doesn't take much faith, does it, to pray? I mean, when the Word of God is just jumping all out and getting all over you, it doesn't take much faith to study the Scriptures, does it? But when it's dry, when it's not doing a thing for you, when you just don't sense God's presence at all, then it is pure faith and obedience that drives you to continue in your time and your walk with God. That is a faith-growing experience. It's a necessary part of God breaking us from our selfishness. Now, we don't usually think of it that way, but when we want the feelings, when we want the warm fuzzies in our devotional times, in our walk, there's a measure of selfishness in that. God wants us to love Him and worship Him, not because of what we get out of it, not because of the warm feelings and the enjoyment we get out of it. He wants us to worship Him for who He is, because He's God. To worship Him for His glory. And sometimes I think He holds back the feelings and the emotional experience and even the spiritual sense of His presence, so we will simply come to Him because He is God. And because our faith tells us to do it, and our obedience enables us to do it. That's when you really grow spiritually. When you keep on and you persevere day after day, week after week, month after month, maybe even year after year, but you're hanging in there. You believe God. You know God. You trust God, even though you're not feeling it, but you're going on what you know the Scripture says you should do. That's when you grow spiritually. That's when you're really becoming the Christian that God has called you to be. So if you go through everything else and nothing hits, then you must assume that God is putting you through a spiritual drought for your spiritual growth, that you might grow stronger in your faith. Now let's look at the cure for a moment. Well, it depends on the cause. If the cause is unconfessed sin, obviously you need to confess that sin. You need to forsake it. That's repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Repentance means you agree with God, this is wrong, this is a sin. And then you forsake it, you turn away from it by His grace. So it's that simple. You have bitterness in your heart, you have misplaced priorities, moral impurity, then repent, confess, and forsake. If your problem is you're overworking and undernourishing yourself spiritually, then you need to get time with the Lord that you can nourish yourself. You may need to cut back a little bit on what you're doing spiritually, but you definitely need to step up your spiritual nourishment. Make sure you're getting fed every day, that you're having that time with God on a daily basis, letting Him enrich your soul in His Word and through times of prayer. Learn how to feed yourself spiritually. Don't just rely on sermons that you hear on Sunday or that you hear on the radio. But learn how to get into the Word of God yourself and allow God to feed you there in your personal times with Him. Learn to abide in the vine, Jesus, the true vine, and allow Him to minister His life through you. Learn what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered through the Holy Spirit. God's never called us to live the Christian life in our own strength, but to allow Him to live it through us. Learn what that means. Discipline yourself not to give out more than you're able to take in during the week. Don't give out more than your abiding level with Christ. This is why I spend time in the mornings in prayer and in study of the Word and spend time with God. I know I must have that time of nourishment so that I can give out to you. If not, then I become spiritually drained and I become burned out. You see that happen more than a few times, and the next thing you know, the man has resigned from the ministry or gotten himself in some kind of trouble. Next, if your problem is you're underworking and overeating, then you need to find somewhere to serve God. You need to find somewhere that your gifts can be used in the ministry of the Lord to get that flow going. If you're in a spiritual rut, then you need to get some variety in your time with God, as I mentioned earlier. Number five, if it's your body has disregarded your body, then you need to get some proper exercise. You need to get on a proper diet. Maybe you need to go see a doctor, and maybe you need to get on some medications. You know, if you have a chronic illness, that can affect you. Chronic pain, all of these things can affect you. See what you can do about those issues. Then remember what Paul said when he asked the Lord three times to deliver him? God said, "My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, my power is perfected." So sometimes if you have a chronic situation, God may not deliver you from that situation, but He wants you to know His power in your weakness. And then, if it's for the strengthening of your faith, then you need to persevere and hang in with God. And I believe that our psalmist here in Psalm 42, his spiritual drought was for the purpose of strengthening his faith. Look at what we see in verse 5. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him." If you're in that spiritual drought for the strengthening of your faith, the first thing you need to do is put your hope in God. Hope is a confident expectation of something in the future. You say, "God, I don't sense your presence now. I haven't for some time, but I know I will someday. And I'm going to continue to hang on and walk with you until I once again sense the fountain of your presence." Hope in God. Wait. This word also means to wait on God. Wait on Him. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. Look, for the help of your presence. He knows one day He's again going to sense the presence of God. And so He continues to do what He knows He should do, knowing one day the spiritual drought will lift. Then He goes on to say as well, "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar." Remember what times were like. He's remembering what it was to be in the presence of God, to have those times where the spiritual waters flow deeply. Spend time remembering what it was like. Think about those times of sweet fellowship that you had with the Lord. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night. Walk by faith and not sight." He knows from God's Word that God is going to command His loving kindness. God's loving kindness has not left Him. That word means God's hesed, His covenant love, that God has committed Himself to love His people and He will never stop. He will fulfill His promises, and He will do so with joy, and He will be involved in their lives personally. He knows this. He's counting on God's covenant love. He knows God will not forsake him. He knows that eventually God will reveal Himself again to him. And so he walks by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. And then he knows that God is his rock. And I will say to God, my rock. Oh, how great this is. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. He's going to praise God, even when he doesn't feel like it, even when he doesn't want to. He's going to praise God out of an obedient faith. Are you in a spiritual drought? If not, you will be before long. And when you do, take time to go through and say, Lord, why am I experiencing this? And then, after you find the reason, then you know what to do. That in God's time, He will bring you through and your faith will be strengthened. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us enough to put us in those times of spiritual drought. That you might reveal sin in our lives, that you might reveal something else that we're doing that we shouldn't do. Or simply for the deepening of our faith, that we might walk with you in the power of your Spirit. Be honored, be glorified, be lifted up through the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We do welcome you, and I'm glad that you have taken the opportunity to listen to a sermon on our internet. And I want you just to know that everybody in the church is not like me. I have these fellows up here, our leadership team. This is Filiberto Medina, who is our Hispanic pastor. And our Hispanic congregation meets every Sunday evening at 6:30. This is Paul Kumar. He is our Minister of Community Connections. And to my left is Mark Baker, who heads up our Reformers Unanimous Ministry, which is a Christian addiction recovery program that meets every Friday night at 7 o'clock. So if you live in the Mableton area, and it doesn't matter what race you're from, it doesn't matter your cultural background, I want you to know you are welcomed at Westside Church. This is where everybody is somebody and Jesus is Lord. Hope you'll join us soon.
Thank you for being with us for this message. Each week, Dr. Stewart gives practical applications and ways to live out the Word of God. If you would like more information, please take a moment to view our website at wbcfamily.org. That's wbcfamily.org.